couple of things on the last game first, then we'll go over South Carolina. After I've gone back and looked at the film, two of the most important plays of the ball game, when we gave up the three right before half, and all we had to do was step back and let her throw her body into us. She got three free throws. That was huge. Then 6 seconds to go after we were on a run, we go up by seven. Danny hits the free throw. I sub Jazz Lumpkin in, and we give up the right-handed drive. If I'd have been a better and smarter coach than I am, I had two fouls to give. I would have fouled on the floor twice and taken at least 4 seconds off of the clock, where they would have had 2 seconds to run a play. As a result, Vivian scores the easiest two baskets of the game. Again, that's coaching. All of us getting used to the quarter system and thinking instead of a feel-good situation, we went into the third and the fourth quarter still on a little bit of a negative note because we gave away a free 2 points. I'll get better on that. But we had two fouls. We only had two fouls in that quarter. I could have subbed in, played shack attack for a couple of possessions, one dribble, attack, foul. Doesn't hurt you at all with the new rules in there. Like I said in the press conference, the biggest shot was the one that Chapel hit, or only shot the three to put them up by one instead of them being put up by two. Identical to the situation that they beat us 2 years ago when Vivian was a freshman. They ran two through at the end of the game. Instead of shooting the open two, she shot the three on Courtney Williams to go up by one, and then we didn't convert on the other end. So the what-if games, but we played awfully well in the ball game and awfully good. And I think that's why we have been getting still so much attention after a loss than after a win. Because people realize, you know, we might be a little short on talent and depth, but our kids play as hard and as well as some of the top 10 teams in the country. But can we do that on an everyday situation when you get in the NCAA tournament or the SEC tournament when you have to play multiple days in a row? I don't know. We didn't even think about that when the year started. We thought about winning that one game mentality, trying to get to the NCAA tournament. Now that we've gotten to the NCAA tournament, we've got higher goals, and that is to finish in the top four in our league, which we've done 11 straight or 12 straight years.
11-ish? I don't know.
Well, 1 year we tied for fourth, yeah, but we got the fifth seed. I call that still finishing in the top four. So I think that's consistency, and I think this is what this program has been about, is consistency. Kids graduate, coaches stay, tradition grows. You just put new people into place, and you find a way to just keep getting it done. I'm as proud of our consistency in our 14 years as I have been in the championships that we've won. And that's just kids stepping up to the place, like a Curtis Knox or a Taylor Cooper, or kids that were not expected to be impact players, or to have Danny Williams go from averaging 3 points a game to 17 and Kyla Hillsman from 7 to 17. That's just not done overnight. That'd be like me in my baseball career going from a 260 singles hitter into a power hitter the next year and hitting 350. That isn't done, and it sure wasn't done. So I love my game against Mississippi State. Vic and I have talked on the phone a little bit about it. And the thing is, like, Vic is calling me, asking me, how do you put on a first and second round. How do you do it? How do you get your town involved in it? How do you do this? And, of course, he's complaining that his people want to raise ticket prices and everything like that for the NCAA tournament. And I said, Vic, you got to do what you got to do. But the thing is, you're coming off of a losing football team and a losing men's basketball team, so you're the hottest game in town. And so your administration is trying to build off of your success, hoping that it'll roll over in some of the other sports. But we talked about the significance of the last two games that we have left. I'm saying, Vic, you got to beat Kentucky for us because we got a tiebreaker over them. And it doesn't matter what you do against South Carolina because that's already decided. But, of course, he wants to win that championship on his own, and I'd like to see him do it. Of course, he would love for us to beat South Carolina. And then he beats Kentucky. That means he's won before he even plays his last game. And so do I owe him a favor? Not unless he gives me a favor first. So we're going to go into these last two ball games with our head up, playing as hard as we can. Can we play as well against South Carolina? I don't know. Missouri just beat them because they packed it in on them, and they had some kids. And Missouri is one of the best outside shooting teams in our league, and they shot the heck out of the ball against South Carolina and just packed it in and got Coates into foul trouble where she only attempted one shot in the whole ball game. And that's not going to cut it when you're the top five player in the league only attempting one shot. So we'll find out what defense we can do. We'll work against our 2-6-7 men's practice players. Hopefully we'll get better. But what we got to do is we've got to contest. We can't just raise our hands and play hope they miss defense. And I think that's what we were doing against Mississippi State. We've still got to contest the shots without fouling. But at the same time, we're trying to play Kyla 40 minutes. 40 minutes. That'd be about like you guys staying up and writing five stories, staying up all night and getting it done in one night. It's not done. 40 minutes for a five player to get up and down the court and still be effective on both ends of the court. That's asking a whole lot of a young lady. And guess what? We're going to keep asking it out of her every night. That's my ramble. What you got?
When Curtis let you know that she was expecting, did you expect her to be – how did she handle that? How did you handle that? Did you expect her to be back with the program at that point?
Oh, yeah, because basically she played the last 3 months pregnant.
Right. And you did, and you
I don't know if you should put that in your story. Y'all tell me on journal etiquette. But I'm not sure if she knew she was pregnant at that time while she was going through the last 3 months. That happens.
She did, but her mother talked about it when she talked to me.
Because I guarantee you, my daughter didn't know she was pregnant when she, up until the 37th week, 37th, 36th week. So I know with that, don't put that in no paper either. I'll be hung.
So at least it was going into the off season then. So then that gave you confidence.
But the baby was due in September.
Right.
And as thin as she is and as healthy as she is, as in good a condition as she is, and she wasn't having twins, I very much expected her to be back. Maybe not as quick as she was, but she was ready to go in November. And I think that's just in your genes. You ladies would know more about that than me. But give her a whole lot of credit for coming back and wanting to be back. And that's the key right there. It'd been easy to shut down your career, but she wanted to be back.
I was going to say she's handled it really well since.
Oh, great. She's a good mother. Excellent mother. Her and her boyfriend have been going through because he's trying to make the pro football and all of that stuff, so he's in and out of camps. And her mother comes down here from Houston all the time. She's a Delta supervisor down there, and she's a great mom. So they've worked it out, and they've handled it. So, and our kids, the first year she was up here, we'd have the kid on the, what do you call those little things, playground things, you know, the little things. I don't know what
playground
they call
things. Playground
things. She'd be over there on the sidelines, and she would just be holding the bars up and watching just like that, wasn't crying or anything like that. She'd be watching Curtis go up and down the court. And it was pretty special. Then as she's got older, we've all had to hold the baby. I hadn't had to change diapers yet, but some of the other players had. And it's worked out. So it's just a feel-good story. The most important thing is, besides Heaven Haven, how did she turn herself into the top point guard in the SEC this year? This year, there's nobody better. And she's had to prove it every night, knowing that she's got to go 40 minutes because there's nobody to come in. Not even a freshman can come in and play that. We moved Danny over for a couple, but Danny's not a point. And that's what we've had to do. So give the kid a whole lot of credit, give our coaching staff some credit for developing her, and give the kid credit for waiting her turn. And in today's world, in athletics or business or in life or school, kids aren't willing to wait their turn. They're instant gratification. With the social media buzz, they want it now, now, now. Probably the worst class for college students to take is history, because they don't want to know about history. They want to know about present and today.
So how do you handle South Carolina's size inside, keep Kyla out of foul trouble when you have to face someone with that kind of size inside? It could be possibly more zone.
It'll be zone. It just depends on which one we decide on using. But it will be zone. And the biggest key is not Coates at the five after you just gotten through Russell and Mississippi State's two. Coates is good. Kyla's good, too. But it's the other one on the other side that we have no matchup for. Nobody else in our league. She's the best player in our league last year and this year. And she's left-handed. She can put the ball on the floor. She's 15-foot range. She runs the floor. She defends. She blocks shots. And normally she stays out of foul trouble. So you just got to play a little bit. I hope they miss defense. But we won't get her in the foul trouble. All we got to do is hope that you can get Coates in a little bit of foul trouble. But they could pack it in on us. She's a man coach. But last year when we played them, she played us a lot of zone.
Gary, what do you feel like your team can still accomplish besides sitting in the tournament? Can you get a home regional? And if so, do you talk about that with the team?
Yeah, but I think getting in top four of the tournament, the top four seeds will play itself out. And some of it, we could win the next two ball games and still might not move in front of Oklahoma or Kentucky or Ohio State going back in, who just beat Michigan, or DePaul, who will probably win their conference tournament. But they don't have to go through murderer's row like we do. And I think you just got to roll the dice. Can this team get into the SEC tournament and play four games in a row with 40 minutes? That's never been done before. We just had four of them do it in our last ball game. That's why the four seed is very important to us. Even if you lose the first game, then you got a week to rest for the NCAA tournament like we happened last year. If you get hot in the playoffs, you play on momentum. But we definitely only want to play three games in the SEC tournament. To do that, we've got to go 2-0. If we go 2-0, I like our chances of getting that four seed.
Any other questions for Coach?
The three seed is still a possibility.
Technically, yes.
But who's got the easiest road is Missouri. They got Ole Miss and Bama. And And I was pulling hard for Bama last night, even though it probably cost us an NCAA team, because now Auburn's lost, I think, 8 in a row. And so they're probably gone. But Christy can't get to the NCAA tournament unless she wins it because of her strength of schedule. And she's 5-9, but I want them to feel good going into that last game at home against Missouri. So, pull for Christy Curry.
You mentioned South Carolina. They've lost a couple games. People pack it in like Missouri, get hot from the outside. What is the formula to beat South Carolina? Because they've had shown some vulnerability this year where they haven't shown before at times.
The one thing they haven't had to do a whole lot is play their kids extended minutes. They do not have a kid in the top 16 in the league averaging 30 minutes a ball game. They're generally in front of everybody so much that they're able to rest some of their people and play a lot of people that way. But I think it really drops off once they go to their bench after their top six, maybe seventh player. They had a lot more depth last year, quality depth. And their point guard graduated. They're playing a freshman. But Cuevas comes off the bench for them, who's faster, who I think might even be better. But she might be doing that for chemistry, bringing a veteran off the bench, let the freshman start, and just say, hey, get out of the way. Let those other four do the scoring. It's not a bad idea. Then you bring a veteran in to fix what's wrong, and I might be doing the same thing if I was her.